Hello. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the AARP Bulletin, the March 2020 edition. The first article that I'm going to read to you today is entitled, A Vow to Do Better at Social Security. In his first public interview, the agency's new commissioner discusses customer service, disability, and fighting fraud. This is by Kenneth Terrell. When Andrew M. Saul, 73, was confirmed by the U.S. Senate as the new commissioner of Social Security last June, it brought to an end a six-year period in which the Social Security Administration, SSA, was run by a sequence of temporary appointees. Saul is now in charge of one of the most important operations in the federal government, an agency that pays out more than $1 trillion every year to more than 64 million Social Security beneficiaries. Saul, who started his career managing retail clothing chains and also helmed the Federal Thrift Investment Board, is tasked with solving problems such as slow customer service that have troubled the SSA for years, and newer issues like scams run by people pretending to represent the agency. In January, he spoke with the AARP Bulletin to explain what he's doing to help the SSA face these challenges. Here are edited excerpts from the conversation. First impressions. It's been, of course, a real learning experience, but the most significant thing is that whatever we do from here on in, the SSA has to be for the benefit of our customers. We are here to service them. It's become kind of the watchword that whatever decision we make, it has to be for the good of beneficiaries. If we do that, we will never make a mistake. That's our mission. Social Security, obviously, is a very big, very complex organization, but the strength that we have is our people. I don't ever want to forget that without our over 60,000 dedicated people, we would be nothing. We have some challenges, as everybody knows, in delivering the proper service to our customers. And this is what we are currently focusing on. Everything from our disability operations to our 800 number to our field offices. Extending office hours. I spent many years in the retail business, women's apparel. Really, the only difference is here we are delivering services and there we were delivering clothing. But it always must be about customer service. I believe in getting out there with our customers, getting into the field and seeing what's happening. On one of my first field trips, I happened to notice on the door that we were closed at 12 o'clock on Wednesdays. I frankly couldn't believe it because we were losing basically 10% of our available time to service our customers by being closed on Wednesday afternoons. Then I understood why Thursday mornings, when we opened, was kind of like a bedlam, like a Monday morning. But as of the beginning of January, all our offices are now open for the full day, 5 days a week. Shortening wait times. The 800 number that has been a major problem, major concern for all our customers, if you called in, you would find you had an unacceptable waiting time, sometimes 30 minutes, sometimes 40 minutes. So what we've done is we have immediately hired about 1,100 new operators. Our call time right now is down by about 50%. We've got further to go, but I think if you watch over the next 6 months, we will get the call centers down to the proper waiting time, which will be close to zero. That's a prediction that I'm willing to make here, and I believe we will succeed in doing this. The second thing is the offices. We're reorganizing how the offices operate and how we handle customers from the time they walk in the door. If you look at our field offices, over a third of our customers come in for card replacements, and another 20% come in for benefit statements. So we are now working on a process where customers coming in for a simple task like that are routed to an express agent, and they don't have to sit there and wait in the office for an agent who deals with more complicated tasks. This sounds so simple, but if you think about it, almost 50% of our customers coming into the offices were waiting like everybody that had a very complicated problem, which is crazy. Fighting scams. It's really a big problem, and there's no quick answer to it. Quite frankly, I don't think that we did the job we should have done over the past few years as this problem arose. But in the past 6 months, we have made major changes. We have a new fraud hotline that has been activated, and we have a new form where our customers can report a scam or fraud through the internet. Since we started the new scam report, we have received over 200,000 written complaints or notices of potential scammers. The Inspector General has put a tremendous amount of resources on this, and we are doing everything we can within the limit of our resources to get to the bottom of as many of these scams as we possibly can. It's unfortunate. It's a very sad thing. The money that's been scammed in some cases is really significant, in excesses of $100,000. The most important thing is for our customers to be aware. If they feel they are getting one of these calls, hang up and don't engage. And obviously don't give them any personal financial information. Just hang up. Changing eligibility requirements for disability benefits. We have to modernize our disability operation. Some of our regulations are 50 years outdated. We had a workforce 50 years ago that was very different than it is today. Many more manual tasks, more hard labor, for example, many more mining jobs, more manufacturing. Today, it's more office work. And don't forget, healthcare has completely changed in the last 50 years. Fortunately, some diseases that affect a lot of people today, 50 years ago, if you were diagnosed with that disease, you were finished. Today, a lot of productive people have had serious strokes, heart attacks, cancer. Very, very life-threatening diseases. Today, we have medicine that has really cured the problems and allowed people to go on with very successful lives. It's important that the disability plan services those people that really are in need of it, but it's also important that the plan reflects the current state of the workforce and healthcare. I think it's our duty to be sure that so that these plans survive, they are up to date, and they run properly. I believe that eligibility requirements should be fair and they should represent a person that's really disabled. That's why the laws were passed in the beginning. Unfair claims should not proceed. Fixing long-term funding for benefits. The trust fund wasn't built with anything else but everybody's hard-earned taxes. So how we spend our money is very important. To spend things judiciously will help in the survival of the trust fund. But only Congress has the power to fix the Social Security Trust Fund for the future. There's no question about that. We can educate, we can share our feelings with lawmakers, but in the end, it's Congress's responsibility to fix this, and the President's, of course. I have confidence that in this great country, we will figure it out before the situation becomes desperate. Meanwhile, we're just about in balance now, and I do believe the future Congress, future commissioners, future presidents will fix it. I don't believe they will let this important lifeline to America ever get in trouble. Now we're going to move on to an article by Susie Orman, Your 2020 Smart Money Action Plan. And this is a long article with 10 points, so we're going to read part of them this week, and then I'll read part of them next week. Exclusive. The personal finance guru maps out 10 moves to secure your future. So for today, we're going to map out five. If I ask you to name your most valuable asset going into retirement, my guess is that you would say your home or your savings. I disagree. Your spirit, your attitude, is the key component in creating your ultimate retirement. And it makes me so sad and frustrated that many of you are focused on beating yourself up over mistakes you have made or regrets for what you might have done differently years ago. That must stop right now. It is a waste of time to focus on what you don't have or could have done better. What is in your control is making the most of what you have today and taking the steps to create the future that you want and deserve. If you're able to face the future without fear, if you can face it with the strength and conviction that you can handle whatever comes your way, well, your future will indeed be bright. Being able to envision better things ahead is what makes the so-called golden years truly golden. To give yourself a life where you are not constantly stressed about money requires making key moves today, not waiting, not hoping, and not giving up. If you are ready to start, I am ready to help. Here are 10 steps you can take right now to make your ultimate retirement a reality. And as I say, we won't get to all 10, but I will finish it another time. Number one, live below your means. So many of you tell me that you wish you could make more progress toward your financial goals. Paying down debt, building up savings. But what you simply don't have the money to make that happen. You are so sure there is no way you can create your ultimate retirement. Again, I disagree. I think you may be able to spend less today to pay for the tomorrow that you want. What I see is that many households allow their spending to veer off to fulfilling wants more than needs. Every time you are considering a new purchase, be it furniture, a cell phone, a computer, or a remodeled bathroom, ask yourself if you are paying only what is necessary to meet that need. Is a less expensive option available? Your goal should be to spend as little as possible to fulfill your needs. Live below your means, but within your needs. When you live below your means, but within your needs, you also set yourself up for a less expensive retirement. If you lower your expenses today, you will have fewer expenses to pay for in retirement. 2. Dial back on your wheels. What's sitting in your driveway or garage could explain a lot of your retirement stress. The average monthly payment for a new car loan issued in the late 2019 was $550, and the typical loan runs for nearly 6 years. Both are financially indefensible, in my opinion. Even worse is borrowing to buy a car when trading that car in for another in a few years, rolling over your old loan balance into a new and bigger loan. That is nuts. If you need a car, spend the least you can for the one that's reliable. That means used, not new. Don't you dare start in about a new car reliability. Cars today are built to last. A smart move is to purchase a certified pre-owned car at a dealership. A used car that is a few years old and still in good shape, of course, can cost 40% less than the same model that's spanking new. Aim to drive that car for at least 10 more years. That's how old my car is, or I should say, our car. My wife, KT, and I have one car. Could we afford two? Yep. But we need only one. I challenge you to think about whether your household could function without one of the cars you have right now. That could free up so much money. Number 3, shrink subsidies for adult children. If you are telling me you don't have money to pay off debts and build up your savings, any support you're providing adult children is an expense you need to rethink. Look, I would never tell you to stop helping a child who is struggling to become independent, but I see a lot of you enabling your children to avoid pushing themselves to self-sufficiency. They're on your cell plan and your health plan. If they live with you, they don't contribute to household expenses. You are stuck in what I call the it's only syndrome. You tell me, oh, come on, Suze, it's only $100 a month or $200 a month. What's the big deal? Are you kidding me? Save $200 a month in a Roth IRA for the next 15 years and earn a 5% annualized return. You will have more than $53,000 you can spend without owing a penny in tax. For each expense you're helping out with, ask yourself whether you are financing a need or a want. If it is a want, stop your support ASAP. If it is a need, hold your kids to the same test I just laid out for you. Can they and you spend less on the need? Then set expectations. Explain that it is your intention that 6 months from now, they will have their own cell and streaming accounts. If you are helping with rent, consider contributing less every month so your child is independent in a year or so. Number four, and get your parents to open up. If your parents end up needing financial assistance, you will, of course, step in. But what upsets me is that adult children don't have a realistic picture of their parents' financial situation, and then they are thrown when they discover, in the heat of an emergency, that their parents are in financial trouble. That's a time when adult children can wind up doing stuff that threatens their own financial security. I am always hearing some version of, oh, I can't talk about money with my parents, they would get mad. Come on. Are you 50 or 60 or 5 or 6? I am not suggesting this is the easiest conversation to start, but it is essential. Adult to adult. So how can you start it? I always say use Suze Orman as your excuse. Try this. Mom, Dad, I have been reading Suze Orman about the steps I need to take to be financially secure. She wants us to have a conversation about your well-being. This has nothing to do with inheritance. This is so not the issue. But my retirement won't mean much to me if I don't know that you are okay. Do you know how much I worry about you? I want to know if your retirement income will be enough to keep supporting you for many more years, or if we might, as a family, think through ways to ensure that you have what you need. I also want to know if you have made plans for having someone step in and help you with your finances if the time comes that you can no longer do it. Have you done this? If not, I can help you get started. It's not hard. Most important, I want to know if you have any financial worries. I am here to help the best I can out of love. When it might be a good time for us to start talking about this. Number five, think about downsizing. I know many of you want to stay in your home. It can be wrenching to consider a move if you have roots in the same house for years, with all the memories that are tied to it. But I ask you to at least open your mind to contemplate a few realities. Those happy memories are about the people you welcomed into your home and the experiences that took place within it. You can move and still share those memories with your loved ones. If you are willing to entertain a downsize, consider moving sooner rather than later, if that is practical. Moving to a less expensive home could set off a wonderful cascade of retirement savings. You may have gains from the sale that you could add to your nest egg. You could also reduce your monthly housing costs, including rent or mortgage, property taxes and maintenance, freeing up more for your retirement accounts. Lowering your house costs might also enable you to downshift to work that pays you less, but you enjoy more. I think this may be an ongoing ingredient in helping you to work till you are 70. Finally, the younger you are when you move, the less stressful the move will be, both emotionally and physically. Now, that's half of this article, and next week I will read the other half. I do want to include at this time one of the sidebar articles with this article. I practice what I preach. Downsizing is right for you, for me, and for the rest of my family. Please know that when I ask you to consider downsizing, I am not asking you to do something that I have not done myself. As KT and I grew older, we realized that it was time to downsize. I was afraid that if we sold our San Francisco home, we would miss it terribly, but I knew that this was the best financial move for us, so we sold. To my surprise, we didn't miss it at all. And I give my family the same advice I give to you. At Thanksgiving that last fall, a 60-year-old relative told me how happy he was to have recently refinanced his home. He said he needed to free up some money for a few years before he and his wife retire and sell. I was not happy. "Why are you waiting?" I asked. "Why not sell the house now and start saving money right now?" I see this all the time. There is this notion that everything has to be tied to exactly when you retired. Not true. In fact, there are many moves you can make today that will save money right now and make it all the easier for you to retire later on. Moreover, you may think there is no risk in waiting, that today's good housing market will be good a year from now or in 5 years. Well, maybe it will, but just as important, maybe it won't. If you are considering selling in the coming years and you would love to start saving money now, I hope you will consider downsizing sooner rather than later. A few days after Thanksgiving, my relative called to say he was putting his house on the market. "We're tired of living paycheck to paycheck," he told me. "What are we waiting for?" So we're still going to be talking about money, but we're onto a new phase of it. How to get helpful information from online user reviews. The secrets. Find useful details and be wary of overall ratings. User reviews help us decide what to buy, where to eat, and even what doctor to see. In a recent NRC Market Insights study, 92% of people said online reviews guided their purchasing, and 83% valued them more than personal recommendations. Unfortunately, many online reviews are fakes. FakeSpot, which rates ratings, says that at least 1 in 3 reviews at Amazon, TripAdvisor, Sephora, and Walmart are unreliable. Others who have studied reviews, including the Washington Post and the Federal Trade Commission, which took action against fakes last year, confirm the problem. All major sites screen for phonies, but many still get through, said Rob Gross, FakeSpot's chief operating officer. TripAdvisor said FakeSpot's analysis is unreliable. Sephora says it believes its reviews are unbiased and authentic. Amazon says it's relentless in its protection of reviewers' integrity. Walmart didn't respond. So, how can you find a real gem? Don't look for an overall 5-star rating and call it a day. Here are my top tips for using user reviews. Amazon. To judge the honesty of individual reviews on Amazon or any site, give more credence to reviews that address both pluses and minuses. Not gushy ones or flat-out pans. Nuance within a review gives you more insight and signals it was written honestly. You can also use free services like Review Meta, M-E-T-A, and FakeSpot, which assess the trustworthiness of user reviews and ratings. A FakeSpot A grade is reassuring. Lower marks, of which there are a dishearteningly large number, aren't necessarily deal breakers, but signs that you should check reviews on other sites. TripAdvisor. Read the most recent reviews on this travel site first, since hotels may be great 1 month and terrible the next, to say, a noisy renovation. Because there's no way to verify that reviewers were actually guests, they might be shills or competitors, cross-check hotel reviews at Booking.com and Expedia, where entries are only from travelers who booked at those sites. Cross-check restaurant reviews at OpenTable for the same reason. If you have a specific concern, you can search all reviews on TripAdvisor, say by entering handicap, to see what others say about accessibility. Yelp. Review the reviewers. On this site, which rates a wide range of businesses, click on reviewers' names to examine their profiles. Red flags include large number of five-star reviews, especially in multiple states, and suspiciously repetitive or vague language. Consumer and personal finance expert Anthony Giorgiani says he looks for verifiable factual statements and reviews about what's good and what's bad. For example, the mechanics successfully fixed my Ford truck's steering issues, but it took a day longer and $100 more than quoted without explanation. Use the search function to focus on what's important to you. For example, wait in a doctor's office or loud in a restaurant. Best Buy, Sephora, Walmart, and other retail websites. First, sort by the most recent reviews, since product formulas and features often change, and never rely solely on overall ratings to make a decision. Again, look for specific pros and cons. Then follow up with what experts say at sites like Consumer Reports and Wirecutter. In the beauty area, check sites like Total Beauty and Good Housekeeping for ingredient safety. I like to consult the Environmental Working Group's Skin Deep Database at ewg.org. For Angie's List, you use this site for home service businesses as a starting point, not the final word. Limit yourself to top-rated businesses with at least 25 reviews, advises the Consumer Federation of America. Then comb through comments. Live in a metropolitan area covered by Consumer's Checkbook? Consider subscribing, $28 a year, at checkbook.org to see its customer reviews. To prevent hanky-panky, the nonprofit runs reviews only from people it selects itself. Next, meet with a few pros and ask for preferences. In-person meetings are essential for getting the right fit on large projects. I can say from personal experience, it's easy to get burned if you look for a provider solely online. Now, a quick item from Ask Our Experts. I have a zillion photos on my smartphone. How can I find specific pictures? Stop scrolling. Your phone automatically categorizes photos by date, location, faces, selfies, and in some cases, even the subject of the photo, such as cats. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, NCReadingService.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.